Yeah, welcome to Sessionable. Our second episode.
Episode two.
Episode two.
Yeah.
So, I'm Tom.
I'm Adrian.
I'm Liam.
And we're here to drink beer, I think.
That's the plan,
Awesome.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we said at the end of last episode that we would bring in some 961 Lebanese Pale Ale. So I thought that's a good place to start with.
Yeah.
So we've got some in front of us right now, and it does smell like pizza shapes, like
Yeah,
Adrian
big
said.
time.
Like he's put that association in my head now.
It's so good. I probably influenced you there.
I never picked up on that before.
Wow, that is, yeah, that is unique.
So you haven't had this beer before, have you, Tom?
No, this is my first time with a Lebanese. I no, that's really really interesting and really like unique, I think. I haven't had much that tastes like that
I've
beer-wise.
never had anything like this beer. It was weird because when I first tried this beer, I had no idea what it was. It was like, oh, it's a beer from Lebanon. Let's have a crack.
Yeah, it's just
Like,
going to be
oh,
another pale ale.
yeah.
Like,
It's like,
yeah,
what the
that's
hell
what I
is
thought as
this?
well.
Yeah.
It just blew me away. I said blew me away so many times last episode. I'll try not to say it as much this episode.
I think I said phenomenal a lot of times last episode.
That's phenomenal.
Especially when talking about Riverside. Like, yeah.
But what I like about this beer is that, yeah, it is unique, but it's also very drinkable. It's not over the top spices. It's
No.
just so, like,
And
I could have a
it's a
session of
perfect
this.
balance, isn't it?
And it doesn't necessarily rely on the spices as well. I think it's
No,
got like
absolutely.
you can there's still a lot of like hop character in there. It's got that hoppy bitterness.
It's really well restrained, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's thinking,
It's a
like,
pale ale. Like it's not a
yeah, but like with all the spices that's in it, you could really go over the top, but I think it's really well balanced and.
How much percentage alcohol would you say that is, Tom?
4.6?
6.3.
6.3.
That's
Yeah.
good in a PK, yeah.
I would not. I don't. Yeah.
So it's getting towards the dangerously drinkable category for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a beer I'd have a lot of. Like, I don't know if I could sit and drink a six pack of it, but
Yeah, have a pint of it.
I'd definitely have a
Yeah,
pint of it, yeah.
easily.
I'd have a pint or two.
Yeah.
Usually before and during pizza. That's what I
Yeah, I
like.
think this is a great food matching beer.
So
Yeah.
do we reckon this should be on tap at Frankie's?
I think
Oh,
it
yeah, I think I haven't seen any of this stuff on tap
No,
or any
I
of the
don't know if they've
961 beers
done
on tap, but
their product yet.
yeah, I'd definitely sink a pint of this with
Yeah.
some pizza.
No, big fan, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've met the brewer, have you, Liam?
Yeah, I actually had him at work for a tasting, which was really random, where we'd stocked just the pale ale before, and
Do a lager and a
and a
red,
red
is it?
ale. They
Yeah.
do I think so. They're a porter or a stout as well, which they haven't brought out here.
Oh, okay.
But really randomly, the guy who we get them off at work basically rang up and said, "Oh, I've got the brewer here on Friday. Can we come and do a tasting?" I was like, "Oh." Kind of had another tasting with another brewery, so I just rang him up and said, "Look, can we change dates because I got this guy from Lebanon, and then he's a real character, actually. What was his name?
Mazen.
Mazen, yeah,
Really cool guy.
yeah. He's a
Yeah.
he was a really funny dude, and a lot of people bought his beer on the day just because he was such a funny guy and was literally chasing people around the beer, trying to pour this beer down their throats as or shopping for wine, which is pretty hilarious."
Nice.
And he just bought himself a whole bunch of beers and
Yeah.
did his own tasting session as well. But
Awesome. So,
yeah.
have you tried the other beers?
I have. I've tried the Red Ale, which is they're
And like
not as
you're
unique as this beer. I think
Yeah.
this is definitely his signature beer, but these other beers are really true to style. The dark beer, I can't remember if it's a porter or a stout, which
I think he
was
said it was like an
really
imperial
good.
stout or something.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but at that he cracked open a bottle of that, which he'd brought with him, and that was really good. So I basically said, the minute this is in Australia, let me know. But
Yeah.
I sell the red ale and the lager as well, and they all tick along quite well. But this
Okay.
one's by
Yeah.
far number one.
Because you're partial to a red ale, aren't you?
Oh, I do like my red
Yeah.
ales. Yeah, any hoppy red ale's got my number on it. Yeah.
I believe the lager won best lager at Hong Kong International
Oh,
Competition.
really? Oh, I
Yeah.
didn't know that. Yeah.
Is that the competition that Hop Hog won at as well?
Quite possibly. Yeah,
Yeah,
that was in Hong
without
Kong
knowing that they'd
without
entered.
knowing. Yeah.
It was pretty
What's the
funny.
story behind that? I didn't hear that one.
I think the story was that they had a lot of interest from people in Asia wanting their beers.
Yep.
And anyone who's met Brendan would know how completely controlling... Oh, no, not, I think control is a bit negative, but he's very particular about how his beer is treated, and so he never wanted to do it. And I think someone caught him at on a good day, and he's decided just to send this guy some beers for his pub in Hong Kong or Singapore or something, and this guy had entered it for him without him knowing. So, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hop on, so, hop on.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was he happy about that, or was...
he was stoked. I think he was a bit... He was confused.
Yeah,
because I think I spoke to him, like, that week, and I was like, what the hell happened here? He's like, oh, I've got no idea, but someone... We gave someone beer once, and he must have chucked it in, and he was freaking out because he knew what date the batch he brewed that got sent over there was, and he was more worried that it wasn't the freshest hop hog that anyone's ever had before.
And it's still on the competition.
Yeah. He can tell by which caps are on the bottles as for what brew it is, which is pretty scary. Yeah.
So, I mean, at the end of the last episode, we all recommended some beers to be drinking. Mm-hmm. And in front of us, we're all drinking the one that I recommended, the Real Thing. We've all got that in front of us, don't we, guys?
Yeah, we're kind of close to the Coke sign, right?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. No, I wasn't able to get out to Young Henry's and grab a growler of it in time for today's
Has everyone recording. Had it?
We've all tried it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a really interesting beer, and it's what I was...
I actually liked it. I really liked it. Not for... When I had it, I didn't think, holy crap, this is Coca-Cola and a beer, but I was like, this is really interesting. Mm.
That's possibly why I liked it, because I don't really like cola, but yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yeah, that's
definitely had some cool... spicy sort of a molassesy thing going on. Yeah.
Mm. So, I mean, there's not much we can really say without having it in front of us. So, do we want to go on to the next one?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. So we've got what Liam recommended. What did you want
to
bring?
Well, I recommended that everyone try a Stillwater. So, I brought a Stillwater.
Awesome.
So it's the Stateside Saison, so it's an American farmhouse ale.
So they didn't they do a brew with Mikkola, and it was a blend of this Saison with Mikkola's Stateside IPA?
Yes.
Just as a...
This, a I'm not sure if this is a blend of the two, or this is just the
I think
same
that's just
beer.
His Stateside. I think because they did the collaboration because they both had beers called
Stateside.
Because
he has a Stateside series, because there was a point where he was brewing not just in America, but...
Yeah.
In Europe as well. So his American beers were called the Stateside Series.
Okay.
So I'm not sure whether this is just his Saison that he brews in the States
or it's a special.
Yeah.
Right.
Whoa.
So, I mean, every one of the Stillwater beers that I've had has been very Belgian, New Age Belgian, I would call it. Yeah. Very Belgian inspired. And this smells exactly like that.
That's great.
Yeah, but yeah, so
it's definitely got some funk on the nose.
Yeah,
it's a slight acidity there. Nice carbonation.
And if ever you have a look, I reckon Stillwater has some amazing packaging on their beers as well. That's some cool ass labels.
It's a lot different to a lot of the the Australian saisons that you get, which are really light and
I find them a bit thin sometimes.
I mean, I think the Australian saisons are very much designed for our climate. Like they're for hot weather, they're light, fruity, spicy saisons. And this has got a lot more body than the Australian stuff.
Yeah.
Like, a lot more bitterness as well.
I mean, this is definitely, like, it's... I think sometimes if someone just hands you a glass of Australian saison,
you can
almost pick it as being Australian saison. Yeah. I couldn't say this is definitely American or...
No.
This is just a straight-up saison. So what do you guys think? I like this.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's like a heavier version of the classic Saison style.
Yeah, it's almost like a, you know, it's close to other Belgian styles as well. It's not just
got a really fluffy Saison. Head.
Mm. Very effervescent, bubbly.
Got citrus in the nose and a very dry finish.
And so Stillwater is a gypsy brewer, is that?
Yeah. Stillwater, I forget the brewer's name, but he is a gypsy brewer to the fact where he was a DJ. And who was then a home brewer, and basically he wanted, he was sort of a gypsy brewer without knowing what a gypsy brewer was, where he sort of wanted to do his brewing more like a DJ does, where they do like 3 months residencies in one particular club and then go to another club, and so that he sort of took that ethos on with his brewing, and yeah, turned out he was a gypsy brewer. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I guess, basically, yeah. And yeah, I think him and Mikola have a real affiliation where I know they're really good mates, and they have brewed beers before together, collaborations, which you bought one of those, I think, once.
Yeah.
We tried one. But yeah, I think this is some really classy beers.
I thought you were going to say he's a DJ brewer in that he mixes different styles, kind of like
cut some fat.
I got really excited. Yeah. Then you clarified it.
Yeah,
I got sad.
Well, I think there's room in the market for a DJ brewer now. maybe that'll be your brewing company, Adrian. Definitely got a lot more farmhousey like funk to it than a lot of the sort of the quite sweet and
especially on the nose.
Especially on the nose.
Yeah,
which is great. Like. And the, all of the beers I've had from Stillwater so far have been fairly farmhousey, funky.
Like Belgium-y style, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the other one I've tried is the Cellar Door. That's the farmhouse ale with white sage.
Yes. Yeah.
That was really nice. A lot that sweeter was top than notch, this. Yeah.
I was a little bit worried that these would both be. This would be very similar to the Cellar Door.
Yeah. It's quite different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do Stillwaters make mainly or exclusively saisons?
From what I have seen, they've all been Belgium inspired, or so like saisons, farmhouse ales. I've only seen three or four of them, and they've all been along that line. Yeah, I haven't seen like a porter or a stout or a pale ale or
I'm sure they. Sure, they've got other offerings, but yeah, who knows?
I have seen a few American brewers that kind of do the same thing, like Jolly Pumpkin always do.
Barrel aged.
Belgian styles. Anchorage always triple ferment with Brett.
Yeah. Mm.
both great breweries.
Yeah. Yeah,
I believe Stillwater's from Michigan, so seems to be the further you away from California that.
The more you're willing to try.
Yeah, and you're more willing to do something a little bit different, I think.
Fair enough.
I think if you're from the States and you're not from the West Coast, you sort of think, well, that's sort of been done.
Yeah.
So what else can we do? Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, but I think it's great that there's more than one style of brewing coming out of.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all about variety.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think, going back full circle to that, the whole IPA and hops revolution and what defined the US beer scene was kind of what kind of started the whole variety thing. Whereas before that, I'm not sure. I'm not a historian. I might be making this up, but
no, it was kind of like
Belgian styles or German styles or English styles.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really a lot of innovation. And then all these hoppy beers came out from Sierra Nevada and everything and, just blew the market wide open.
Absolutely, yeah. I think this is a great place to sort of segue into our next topic, which is...
Happy birthday, Tom.
Well, thank you. So, basically, I actually haven't been drinking American beers for that long. I only turned 21 a week ago. So, this is actually one of the first American beers I've been legally allowed to drink.
Yeah. You would have been hanged, drawn, and quartered if you had drunk American beers before.
It's opening up a whole new world for me. And so we thought for that we'd maybe do a bit of a spotlight on American beers today. So we all brought some stuff in. And this Stillwater is it's American, fits the bill.
Even though it's a Belgian style, we'll ignore that.
But it's still I think a lot of the American scene and a lot of what made that craft beer scene so successful is that it wasn't just, well, we've got our style of beer and that's what we're going to stick to. It was, they had that style of, the IPA is very much that quintessential American style, but it's not the only style that brewers make.
Well, I think if you look at every great beer country or community in the world, they always have really good access to Belgian beers.
Yeah.
You think about, like, yeah, everywhere I've been to that has a really well-developed beer, craft beer scene, or, you know, micro beer scene, whatever you want to call it, they all have very good access to Belgian beers. So I think it's a good starting point. It makes sense to try and replicate a style that's pretty complex and, yeah.
Yeah, so the next beer we've got in our American exploration
coming up
is just a classic. Like, it is just awesome. It's the Rogue Dead Guy. Which is a gorgeous... what's the style? Is it a Maibock?
A Maibock.
Yeah. From...
what is a Maibock?
That's a very good question. Do we know what a Maibock is?
Don't test me on this.
Well...
So, Mr. BJCP, do you...
The Rogue Head Brewer is John Meyer. And I might be wrong, but I always thought that it was his own style of a bock. Hence the name Maibock, but...
Untrue.
What's that?
Untrue.
Untrue?
But I'll let you keep talking.
No. Well, that was what I thought it was. But yeah, I'm interested to see what the actual fact is.
So a bock is like kind of Maibock is a kind of seasonal bock that they.
Well, what's
brew.
A bock? Explain what a bock is.
Shit, I should know this. It's like a multi German style.
So a bock
right?
is a strong lager. It's a
strong
multi
German lager. And the Maibock is a seasonal version that they would brew to drink in May.
Yes.
That makes sense, yeah. Because there are lots of different types of bocks, if we're going to get into this. A Maibock is a Hell's Lager brewed to bock strength. That's basically what it is. I think this is...
What's a Hell's Lager, Tom?
That's a German...
Are we just going German to go name. Down this like
down
rabbit,
down
hole?
A rabbit hole, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just a yeah.
Well, so I mean, so it's a bock for May, and
yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call this much of a Hell's Lager. It's a Hell's Lagers are generally fairly light and pale, and
yeah,
this is.
So this was brewed originally it was brewed for a special occasion, which was I believe Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah,
the Day of the Dead in I think predominantly Mexican South American. Tradition, hence why it's called the Dead Guy.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I think originally it was just meant to be a one-off beer, which is now probably, I'd say, almost their most popular beer for Rogue.
Yeah, it'd be almost their flagship, wouldn't it?
I think, I reckon between this and the Hazelnut Brown Ale would probably be their two biggest beers. Yeah.
But I love this beer. or everyone's favourite, maple bacon ale.
The good old Voodoo Donut.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of vitriol against that on Twitter
There's
recently.
So much hate on that.
It's like, come on, guys.
I will stand by that.
I stand. Yeah.
I want to try the peanut butter banana beer that they made recently.
I'll bring that in next time if you want.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we've got that down recorded. Yeah.
This is really nice.
Yeah, it's just such a solid beer. This, like, it's
you get that kind of. Bready, toasty malt character,
that honey sweetness,
and there's also this kind of dark fruitiness, possibly from the yeast. Oh, it's just so nice.
This is a beer that I can drink a lot of.
Yeah, I think we'll have to revisit this beer for our Bock episode. Baby got Bock.
So I think I've ever met anyone who doesn't like this beer. I'm sure there are people who don't, but...
Sure. It is just one of those beers. I've had it... You know, I've worked at bars where it's been on tap, and it is one of those beers that someone would go, oh, what lagers do you have? I'm like, well, I've got this great lager.
Yeah.
and even like a lager drinker, you know, this isn't so out there. It's not so...
But like,
it's not that it's not
so dark and toasted or too hoppy and
it just tastes
bitter.
Cool. Like, yeah.
It's a big beer, but
it's still a. I don't want to say approachable, but it is.
It's definitely approachable.
Yeah, but it's not in a way that some beers are approachable. It's approachable in its own way. Like
what alcohol strength is this beer? Because it's pretty big, right?
I think
I'd say like 6%.
Dead guys around. Rogue never put them on the bloody bottle, do they?
Oregon.
It's 6.5%.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So it is pretty. Yeah, it's pretty big. I should have known that.
We're drinking some really low alcohol beers at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, as is our custom.
Yeah.
So, well, that's what Sessionable's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So what would be some, like, what are your sort of favourite US beers, like, breweries that are doing, like...
I've always been a big Rogue fan myself. For me, I think Rogue was... probably one of those first of those American craft breweries that I tried. And when I tried them, there was a lot of them. It was like when they first started coming out to Australia, and there was, you look at a bottle shop and there's a shelf that's just 20 different Rogue beers. You're like, oh my God, I have so much beer to try. And I remember the first Rogue I had was a Captain Stig's Bitter, which was massive. And ever since then, I've always loved Rogue. I got a chance to go to Portland and visit a couple of the Rogue bars and stuff like that. And I think they have a really cool vibe and some great, unique beers. Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, I'll always be a Rogue fan.
What about you, Adrian? What are some of the...
I think I might have mentioned in the previous episode, but Stone just really hold a special place in my heart. Whenever somebody asks me what my favourite IPA is, I kind of hesitate for a bit, but inside I'm thinking it's Ruination. It's definitely Ruination. It's just such a good IPA.
Is part of that love the fact that it's actually quite hard to get here, or...?
It's not that. It has been available in Australia, not so legitimately, but it's just that it's... they make really good beers.
Oh, yeah.
They make really good beers. Yeah. And I've been to the US and tasted it fresh, and it just tastes so amazing. And, you know, people say Pliny the Elder's the best IPA, which is, you know, nothing against it. It's an amazing IPA. But Ruination is just so good, and all their beers are really good. I'm not sure they make one bad beer.
I haven't had a Stone beer I don't like.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's been sitting on a shelf in a bottle shop in Sydney for 6 months beforehand or if it's fresh from the States.
That's the thing. So the first time I had Ruination, it was grey imported, and I thought it tasted fantastic.
Yeah.
And then I had it fresh, and it was even better.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely it tastes a lot better when fresh, but even, you know, I think a good beer, no matter how old it is, it's going to be good. Unless it's like, you know, 100 years old and oxidized or whatever. Still,
it's almost like when the hops subdue a little bit, then you can sort of see everything else behind the beer, like the malt structure and everything. And yeah, like you said, like a good beer will hold up when it's not at its freshest. Of course, it's not as good as it could be, but it's still a great beer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that Martin Cornell was talking about the other day, the beer historian.
Ah, yeah, right.
And he was talking about, like, that, you know, you've essentially got two types of IPAs, Old World and New World. Like, English IPAs, which were that, you know, IPAs brewed to travel to India. And you've got IPAs that are New World, which are brewed to drink straight from the brewery as, you know, fresh and as hoppy as it, you know, as possible. And he did a bit of an experiment. He took, I think it was Meantime IPA, and he bought two bottles of it. He put one on a balcony in Dubai for 9 months, and he stored one cold for 9 months, and then like saw what the difference was. Because Meantime IPA is very much an English style IPA. After that 9 months sitting on a balcony in Dubai, like subject to the weather and everything, it actually had rounded out really nicely and become a really really balanced, mellowed out in certain ways. You got all the different, you know, and he said it was a pretty successful experiment. So I think IPAs as a style are pretty interesting in that, like, they were originally designed to be aged, and now they're designed to be drunk basically from the fermenter. Like,
I remember at working in a bottle shop that I saw, I can't remember who it was, but there was an American brewery being imported to Australia, and on the importer's tasting notes it had said, now that this aggressive beer has been allowed to settle down and the hops to mellow out for 6 months in a warehouse. So it's like, is this just a really old beer that's been sitting around for ages, or have they decided to cellar it because it was too hoppy? But yeah, I always think of that when I think of IPAs that have been on the shelf for a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, so...
I don't think you said what yours was, Tom.
So I this is a bit of a cop-out, but I've always had a soft spot for Sierra Nevada. I think that their pale ale is just it's a classic. Like, that it is the beer that sort of sparked the whole craft beer revolution, and you can't deny that. But then you get into their other stuff, like their bigger stuff. And a lot of that is the fact that I can actually get it in Australia and drink it. You know, that helps a lot. But you look at stuff like the Bigfoot, the Hoptimum, the Narwhal,
Ruthless Rye,
which, yeah, just come back. And, like, they are just... really, really, really good beers.
I like the fact that there's some variation in their seasonal beers. Like the Ruthless Rye will slightly
change
vary
every year,
year
yeah.
to year. And I find that quite exciting, yeah.
The celebration as well, I can't forget. It's just gorgeous.
The Bigfoot always destroys my palate every time I have it. It's just such a massive bitter beer.
Mm.
And you wouldn't think so because, well, I guess you would think so if you knew what you were in for, but... kind of like, yeah, it's a dark beer, strong beer, it's going to be malty, and then you have it, and it's like, oh, right, it's American.
Yeah.
There's 20,000 hops in this.
Yeah.
I was really surprised at how hoppy that was the first time I had one, yeah.
But I'm a big fan of Sierra Nevada, and like, yeah, some of the stuff they do is really, and not all of it's great, like, there are some beers that are a bit, not bad, but not as up to that standard, like, they do a beer camp thing, which I think they actually get other people to do the recipes for. There was one they called an Imperial Pilsner, and I think it came in at like 5.6%.
But I thought like the beer camp stuff Imperial is like Pilsner. They do like a basically like a beer camp, and so avid homebrewers can so learn they come some up, stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like sort of like the best beers from.
Yeah, I think it is, but to be releasing it commercially and calling it an Imperial Pilsner, that's you know.
I think it's interesting how we sort of got some of the beers that were influenced by Sierra Nevada in Australia first before we got Sierra Nevada.
Absolutely. I mean,
so it's one of those beers that everyone had heard about, similar to Pale Ale, like everyone knew of that beer, but then to the fact that we had Rogues in Australia before we had Sierra Nevada was pretty interesting, yeah.
And, I mean, you know, Little Creatures is essentially a, Little Creatures Pale Ale is a Sierra Nevada clone, essentially. Like, I'm saying that to knock Little Creatures, but it is very much inspired by Sierra Nevada.
I think you could say the same thing for stuff like the Rocks Hangman or
that whole category of American pale ales is you could just re-describe as Sierra Nevada clones. Like, and that's not a knock. That's not a bad thing.
I think it's an ode to
it's
a tip of the hat, basically. Yeah.
Surprised there's not enough odes to the quintessential American beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, well, we've got that one coming up next.
I think the hipsters took that one.
Yeah. Have you noticed the little the PBR lanterns in Frankie's?
Yeah, I did notice that, yeah.
So should we go on to the next one?
Yeah, what is the next one?
All right, so yeah, we've got the Devil's Canyon Brewing Company Full Bore Scotch Ale in a can.
It's a big can too, isn't it?
It's a pint.
500?
Doesn't actually say in metric.
It should say pint on it.
It says one pint. It says 16 fluid ounces.
It's an American pint.
Yeah. But being Australian, I have no idea what that means. I've never bothered to like learn.
You can look it up in Google. It converts it pretty easily.
That when I bought this beer, I had absolutely no idea what it was. I just thought it looked cool.
Yeah. So, Devil's Canyon, it says here, are based in Belmont, California.
Which is, I think, really, it's right in San Fran. So, it's in the Bay Area.
So, this one is lightly smoked with peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, it's...
So what I can understand online is this is one of their two main beers.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks... The packaging's great. That's,
Yeah, so Google says 16 US fluid ounces is 473 milliliters.
So that's a US pint, which US is smaller pint. Than a, yep. an Australian pint.
We'll do a whole episode about different sizes
yeah,
oh, and different...
God, I will
South Australian schooners, oh my God, don't get me started.
Really does make you feel like a tourist when you try to order a beer in another state, doesn't it?
I could go on for hours about that.
Ooh, it looks dark.
Yeah, it's dark. So it's got the colour of a porter, I'd say. Like, so my producer just asked me what a porter is. It's worrying.
Yeah, he doesn't know because I don't think he's ever been to England.
The porter, my understanding, was started in the docks of London. And porters were like the guys who offloaded the ships in the docks.
It was, yeah, that's, it's just sort of, porters as a style, which we shouldn't get into this, I think, like.
we should explain it at least.
Yeah, so porters as a style, obviously, dark, dark beer, English style. The actual history of it isn't so cut and dry as the sort of the myths would have you believe. It evolved fairly organically and it just ended up being named after
the people who
drank the most of it, yeah.
So, yeah, it's generally like a dark, malty, in some styles, fairly roasty, but not overly burnt beer.
So this is, I mean, this isn't a porter, this is a Scotch ale.
This is a Scotch ale.
But I was just
I don't
saying
know why we were talking about porters at all.
You could call this a porter, though.
Definitely doesn't taste like a porter.
Tastes like maybe a smoked porter.
So this is a wee heavy, which is a strong Scotch ale, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
One of my favourite styles.
Mm, this is great. This is it's not as sort of smoky as I was expecting. I was.
It is an optional character.
More meaty.
The Scotch beers.
Yeah.
But you do tend to have that in a lot of the Scotch beers, that peaty character.
Yeah.
But it's usually just dark, caramelly, malty beers, and the wee heavy is the strong version, so you get that really rich character to it.
Oh, this is really rich. This is great. And it came in a can, which is interesting because only shit beer comes in cans, right?
Absolutely.
Cans are
I hate
beer.
This beer. I really don't like this beer at all.
Yeah. Comes just because it comes in a can. I like the taste of it, but it's in a can.
Yeah, I mean, a great taste, but I'm not allowed to like it.
It's in a can.
It's in a can. But Tui's news out of Stubby's, love it.
Yeah, so cans are great for like, cans are great. Cans are great, and cans are especially great for sort of keeping beers, you know, as close to what they originally were. Like they don't let the beer degrade as much as glass does, because there's a tighter seal. And
they don't let any
UV
light in at all.
I think slowly but surely we're seeing sort of cans becoming a bit more accepted in Australia. Beers.
I think there is still a big stigma. Even working at a beer bar, I find that my fellow bartenders sometimes, like we just got a can into the fridge of really nice beer. It was the Evil Twin Hipster Ale.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome can. Like,
yeah,
it looks great,
doesn't it?
But they were like, oh, a can. I'm like, well, no, that's actually a good thing.
Mm.
There is still a stigma to it, but I think, you know, and it doesn't help that at the moment there's no one really doing cans except the Australian brewery.
I think part of the reason is that canning lines are more expensive than bottling lines. And you would see that with companies that, like the big beer companies that release cans and bottles. The cans tend to be
more expensive.
I haven't checked in Australia, but when I was overseas, when I was in the Philippines recently, and being a hypocrite drinking San Miguel, the cans
were like a few pesos
more expensive, which is like maybe 10 cents difference to us, so it doesn't make a huge difference. But yeah, my dad was saying, oh, you should get the bottles because they're cheaper. And like, 10 cents. But anyway.
Yeah.
But when you start buying big quantities of them, those 10 cents, they add up.
But going back to the benefits of the cans, I found that the canned San Miguel was better because they don't they're not transported very well in the Philippines. They're in trucks.
They're in milk crates, basically.
They're in milk crates in open containers.
So it's getting sunlight.
And it's getting sunlight.
So it's pretty hot as
the
well.
The bottles are usually skunked, which is, you know, the effect of sunlight on beer. And the cans are all fine.
Mm.
So that's definitely one of the benefits of cans.
Yeah.
Plus, you can take it to Meredith. So.
Well, I mean,
And they're easy to carry around, yeah, just in general as well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think basically that's what the whole UK with their canning of beers is mainly for music festivals was the reason they were doing it. Because I think generally across the world, the idea was with music festivals where you can camp at overnight festivals, you can bring cans, but you can't bring bottles. So. That's basically one of the impetus for it. But I think in the States, it's much more acceptable to have some big beers in cans. And yeah. I remember having a dinner in San Fran where we asked the waitress, it was like sort of like a beer restaurant, to match all our beers for us for the night. And I think everything I had in that one night came out of the can. I had some really big IPAs and stuff like that, which works really well in cans.
The other big advantage of beer cans is that you can shove it up a chicken's ass.
That is a really...
really, like...
really interesting thing, because I think this beer would be a mad beer can chicken beer.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, just as a final thought on this beer.
That's not what I was thinking was about to happen, but hey.
Yeah. You know, I think that is one of the main advantages of beers in cans.
So we're doing that for the next episode, right?
We'll do a beer can chicken series. Everyone brings a beer can chicken with a different beer.
The idea being which cans are easier to get into a chicken, or what do you think of this beer?
I really like it. I think it is rich. It's got
a bit
like
Vegemite-y.
And it does have a nice little bit of smokiness in the back.
Bit of bacon.
A bit of bacon, which is a really nice character in a Scotch ale.
Mm.
That smokiness. I know it's optional, but I like that smokiness in a Scotch ale.
I agree. Yeah. I like that smokiness in anything, really.
Yeah.
Especially in a Scotch ale, I think I'm always hoping for a little bit of smoke there.
Absolutely.
I think we've had some pretty killer beers so far.
I think we have, and I think we might go into our next killer beer.
Yeah.
It's the Brooklyn Local 2. And
I have never had this beer before.
Yeah. That is a shame. Because I hear it's pretty good.
And this is a Smick-looking beer.
You guys actually know the story behind the Brooklyn Local beers? I can't remember, so...
Oh, I was hoping you were about to sort of tell us
the
story.
We'll cut this out.
Well, I mean, it definitely looks like a New York firefighter's sort of a badge, almost.
Yeah. That sort of style.
Yeah. So it's green, okay, because the local number one's like a red label, right?
And the one's great. The one is really nice.
Well, I think I've never had the local 2. I've had the one quite a few times, but I've never seen this around much.
So the local one was a strong golden ale, strong golden ale. And this is a Belgian style strong dark ale.
Okay.
With raw wildflower honey.
So, okay. I think the Brooklyn local beers are made using... Local ingredients to Brooklyn.
Because this one says it's got raw wildflower honey from a New York family farm.
That would make sense.
You can definitely get the honey in the nose, can't you?
Yeah, and quite a bit on the flavor as well, but not as much.
That's actually quite light for the color, isn't it?
For the color,
yeah. I think it's going to have a lot more.
I was expecting
robustness to it, but it's quite delicate.
It's very clean for a Belgian style as well.
Mm. I think delicate's a good
muddy
word.
Colour, but yeah.
It's very smooth for 9%.
Ooh. 9%.
It's 9%.
Ooh. Yay. Yeah, so I do find this beer quite light, quite delicate, especially for 9% Belgian dark ale. But that's not a bad thing, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely their interpretation of it, because... The dark strongs from Belgium are usually super malty, rich,
brown sugar, molasses. Yeah,
absolutely.
See, I don't actually find this that sweet. Like, you get the honey flavor, yeah, but it's not really that sweet, is it?
I think it's well attenuated, so you get kind of a mix between sweetness and dryness.
Mm.
It's I really like
this. This is a classy beer. Yeah,
I agree. Very impressed. Yeah, but it's completely not what I was expecting.
So what's been your favourite so far of all these American beers?
It's a tough question.
It's been some pretty good ones.
Yeah, so we've had the Stillwater Saison, the Devil's Canyon Scotch Ale, the Rogue Dead Guy, and then the Brooklyn Local 2.
And those are the only four American beers you've ever had.
Yeah, are they all like this?
You can pretty sure.
Yeah, these are the only four American beers that you can get. Mm.
Okay, well, I'm done then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's handy. Thanks, guys.
Might as well cancel that trip to the States then, eh?
Yes, that trip to the States that I have planned, I'll cancel it. they've all been really great.
Quite different.
Yeah.
All big beers, but in different ways, eh?
The only one I'd had before was the Dead Guy.
What are you talking about? You haven't had it?
Oh yeah, of course. I just sort of it tasted.
You heard
familiar.
Of it before,
I've,
right?
I've
yeah,
heard of it.
Yeah.
It was the only one I'd heard of course.
Mm.
I'd never drunk an American beer before the age of 21. That's illegal, I think. But I liked that Scotch Ale at Devil's Canyon. I thought that was great.
That's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
I'd say it's a close call between the Scotch Ale and this local number two for me.
That's not to say the Stillwater wasn't. No, the Stillwater was great.
No.
All four I've really enjoyed. Yeah. Actually, I've enjoyed them so much, I haven't checked them into Untappd. That's how much I've enjoyed
Snap.
Them.
Yeah, I've been falling into that habit recently of just, like, forgetting to check in.
Break the habit.
It's not.
I find if you have someone ridiculing you the whole time you're in Untappd, it definitely helps breaking that chain as well.
I find it interesting, though, that we've just had four phenomenal American beers,
yeah,
yet there is still a fairly pervasive stereotype amongst Australian drinkers. Not necessarily Australian craft beer drinkers, but just Australian drinkers that, American beer's shit. Like, there is still that sort of pervasive.
I think less and less you're getting that, but it's definitely still there. Mm.
I think it's a bit ironic that a lot of people, not just Australians, but a lot of people in general that don't drink craft beer think that American beer is some of the shittest in the world, whereas in reality, it's some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Probably the best beer scene in the world is in America.
I think it's one of the most exciting beer scenes, definitely, yeah.
And definitely. If you're not in the know, you just assume that it's Coors Light, Miller Lite, Budweiser, all these really generic, no-flavour beers.
Yeah.
But I think you have to... It's a lot harder to get some good beer in Australia than it is to get a good beer in the States. Like, even though you might have, like, all those mainstream beers on tap, there'll still be, like, one or two craft taps or macro taps, in every one of those bars. Like...
Yeah, whereas in Australia, like, you'd be lucky most pubs don't have anything, or they try to pass off James Squires and Matilda Bay as craft now. But
is it craft, though?
This is not what we're talking about this episode.
Sometime we're going to have to get that.
The answer to that question is no, but that's not what we're talking about this
future episode.
That could be a double header, that one.
Oh, God, that could be a triple...
The craft series, yeah.
Well, yeah, in Australia, you know, you literally have to, like, seek out these craft beer bars or bars that are craft beer friendly.
Yeah.
Because there's not many of them. You know, there are certain craft beers which are gaining traction. You know, Stone and Wood is picking up a lot, like, all over the place, which is great. You know, Little Creatures you can find everywhere. Whether or not that's craft, let's leave that for a later discussion.
I can quite
discussion.
Happily settle for a Little Creatures
yeah,
pale.
I would,
right
I would
anytime.
Happily settle for it as well.
And in America, you can go to a service station and get some craft beer from the fridge, which is...
Yeah.
And we had the same discussion last episode with the Race of Five IPA.
Yeah, yeah.
which is another example of just an awesome American beer. It's a shame I wasn't able to chase any last episode, because I wasn't 21.
Yeah, true. So. It must have hurt.
Mm. You guys are enjoying it so much. Yeah. All right, so we might move on to... We might move back to Australia and see, like, what are we drinking that's local and that's in season now. So we've got two beers that we've got. Both new releases from awesome Australian, you know, craft breweries. We've got, what did you bring, Liam?
Oh, well, I went on a little trip up the Central Coast yesterday and stuck my head into Six Strings Brewery, which just opened up probably 2-3 months ago, I think. Yeah, and yeah. So I brought back a little squealer of their new release, which is their Imperial Stout. And Tom, you...
Well, I've always been a fan of Bridge Road. I think they do some of the best stuff in Australia. And
I think they've been at the forefront of the Australian scene for quite a while.
Yep, absolutely. And one of my favourite beers from Bridge Road is their Bling IPA. So when I saw on Twitter that they were doing a Bling Bling IPA, I was very excited.
I think all of the craft beer community on Twitter collectively rejoiced at that decision.
Yeah. And
I think it was a long time coming.
And I don't think you could come up with a more perfect name for
the Bling Bling.
Bridge Road Imperial IPA. Really. The Bling Bling. It's just, yeah.
So, reminds me of like a 1950s comic book label.
Yeah, the label's fantastic. Yeah. It's really like bright, it's orange, blue, and yellow.
What's that? It's like that animation style, the dot with all the dots.
I know that's, like the, like Liechtenstein sort of style.
That's the one.
Pop-up. Yeah, yeah.
So
we're going to go the Bling first?
Well, let's crack a Bling.
Yeah.
Bling, Bling, not just a Bling.
I haven't had this beer yet.
I haven't tried it either yet, which is...
Has anyone had this beer yet?
Have you tried it yet?
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. First time for all. Oh, look at that. That's dark.
Oh, wow.
Is that an IPA or a black IPA?
It's an Imperial IPA.
Or is it a red IPA or a...
Or is it a barley wine? Let's not get started on that.
Oh, it's got a big hop hit on the nose.
Whoa, yeah.
But it does, you can sort of get a bit of Bling, like the classic. It does smell like a big, like a Bling Bling. That's really dark. Like, not dark, but it's like a rich, reddy amber.
Ooh, that's got a bit of punch, eh?
Mm. Woo!
I like that one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
So I think he's got the hop profile to 11 on that one.
Wait, absolutely. Turn it up to 11.
Well, I think one of the reasons I liked the Bling IPA was it wasn't excessively hoppy.
No,
it was quite a malty IPA.
I actually find that their Beechworth Pale Ale is a hoppier beer than their Bling.
Mm.
And I think last Sydney Craft Beer Week, I was at a dinner with Ben Krause.
Really?
And he was sort of saying the same thing, that the Bling IPA, it's almost meant to be more of a, I think, a malt-driven, like an English, not necessarily, but, you know, more of that sort of thing. And this is very much an American, like...
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a Bling Bling, you're going to have to max it up a bit.
Exactly.
This is a really nice, syrupy, hoppy...
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But the colour really throws me, though, eh?
Yeah.
As you were saying about the Bling, I think this as well isn't too hoppy. It's not overly hoppy anyway.
No.
It's just hoppy enough to balance
it's
out.
Hoppy, no, absolutely. And it's strong. And what ABV is this one?
Ah, I think that's really nice.
Yeah.
It's 8.5%.
Wow.
Great, yeah. So just in keeping with our sessionable sort of philosophy here.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hops in there. There's a lot of hops in the flavour as well, but there's not excessive amounts of bitterness.
Hmm.
And I think there's enough malt backbone there to
support it. Yeah, there definitely is a big malt backbone to carry through that hop profile, but and I think that's what it shows in the colour as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
it does have a lot of hops.
That's a cracking beer.
Yeah, it is cracking beer.
Well done, Ben.
Mm.
As usual. Yeah.
Ben and team, sorry.
Ben and team, yeah, absolutely.
I think we all wanted to like this beer before we cracked it, though, didn't we?
Yeah, it's a hard life being a beer nerd.
Can be expensive sometimes.
Is there Galaxy in this?
I had to give up my heroin addiction to get into craft beer. Mm.
That's probably a plus, then, I'd say.
Galaxy hot pellets in a crack pipe, and yeah.
I've never done that.
You should try.
Hot pellet suppositories.
Yeah, I hear they're opening up a dry hopping room in King's Cross.
Yeah, I think there actually is one in King's Cross.
Yeah.
Very close by.
No, I'm a big fan of the bling bling. So, but I've got one problem with this beer.
What?
So when I check into Bling on Untappd, right, you have to say bling bling. What do you say when you check into bling bling
bling bling
bling bling bling bling?
It's a double bling.
Could you be like blang blang?
No, you do two open brackets bling bling close brackets. Too nerdy? No. Is that too nerdy?
Well, sure. I mean, if you want to factorize it, you can. No, I
maybe you can do bling squared.
Bling squared?
Bling squared, yeah. That's a good
bling
one.
Bling squared. Yeah, awesome. Well,
Should we move on?
We should move on to our last beer of the session, which is the Six String Imperial Stout. Not just a stout, it's an Imperial Stout.
So I had this on tap yesterday, actually, at the brewery, and it was pretty cold, but besides that, once it warmed up, it was
I mean, that's what happens in Australia.
But I think if anyone gets a chance to head out to the Six Rings Brewery, it's pretty
still
cool, man.
Been,
yeah. They were brewing as were they yesterday as well. So it's the brewers have a mad PA setup, which they were pumping out some hardcore corn, which was good drink. It was pretty pumping there. There was probably about 25, 30 people there.
Excellent.
Last night, yeah.
That's really like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to hear. All right, let's...
get the squeal on. Oh, it's subtle.
Well, it's filled up right to the top. And after this, we've just got a bit of a challenge from our producer. He's going to set us a bit of a task that we have to fulfill.
We'll try to fulfill anyway.
Yeah, before the next episode. So while we're drinking this, we might actually see what that is. I've got that one as well.
So he's handed you an envelope, Tom. Read it out for us.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So apparently this is for a blind tasting that we're going to be doing next episode. And we have to find... a 4.6% VB, so before they change the recipe, and we have to find the new recipe, 4.9%. For the 4.6% VB, we can't use our workplaces or the internet.
Okay.
So we have to go out and hunt for a 4.6% VB.
Can we use water to dilute the 4.9% VB?
I think it's got to say 4.6% on the bottle.
Damn it. But I think for the blind tasting, we can do that as well.
So the idea is that we each have to hunt down a 4.6% VB, and then we're going to do a tasting.
A blind tasting between them.
And we've got to figure out which one's better.
And I was reading the other day that their sales have jumped phenomenally since they've
put the marketing works back nice. Up.
And it's now retaken the claim as Australia's most drunk.
Australian took it back from 4X.
Yeah. All right, so it's worked.
Enough about VB. Let's talk about this.
Let's
Imperial
talk about some real beer.
Oh, wow. That smells like an Imperial Stout to me. That's...
So, these guys, yeah, I don't know. Opened up like about 3-4 months ago.
Not too long ago.
Yeah. So I got given a squealer of what their dark IPA, which apparently was upon opening their top beer.
Yeah.
As far as what people thought was their best beer they had going. When I was speaking to the guys yesterday, they were saying between that and their Hef was their two highest selling beers.
Okay.
But they've just released an ESB and this Imperial Stout, and this, yeah, they had this on hand pump, which ran out within 2 days. So I was a bit disappointed that,
That'd be excellent, yeah.
Mm. But I think this is a good beer, man. This is
a great beer, yeah. Mm. So do you know what the ABV is on this?
8.6%.
8.6?
Yeah.
Yay!
See, I would call this an Imperial Porter rather than Imperial Stout.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
kidding.
Is that a hashtag shit beer nerd say?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, when I first had this, I just thought, oh, I don't know if I'd call this an Imperial Stout, but it's a good stout. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
It's got a nice, sweet, sort of banana-y thing going on.
I don't have a problem with them calling it Imperial Stout. Like, if it's 8.5%,
I think 8.6%,
I think you're getting to the point where you can call it Imperial if you 8.5%.
And they can call it whatever they want. They made it, so...
Oh, but it's got such a lingering, like...
Dryness and...
Roastiness to it.
Yeah, I think it's a cracker.
Yeah, it's... Because I've had their dark IPA or their red IPA.
Well, they called it... When I was at the bar, the brewery, so they called it the dark IPA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I heard it was the red IPA, but whatever they call it. It was... Yeah, a dark IPA. Not
on their... The taps and on their board, it just says IPA.
Yeah. Okay.
But,
And that was really nice.
Mm.
I really liked that.
Apparently, from people who'd been there when they'd opened, that was by far the best beer on tap at the time.
That was my favourite that I've tried so far.
And I've also...
Have you tried any of the other beers?
I've tried the pale and the wheat, I think it was.
Yeah, the Hef or the wheat, yeah.
Yeah, I've tried the pale as well, which wasn't bad. It was
a
pale ale and a nice pale ale, but it wasn't...
The impression I sort of got was when they opened, they sort of lowballed what they thought... the local Central Coast community would want to be drinking as far as beers go. And I think with their last two releases being an ESB and an Imperial Stout, I think they're definitely beefing that up a bit. The ESB was tasting pretty tasty yesterday as well. Yeah.
No, I find it interesting that a lot of breweries sort of expect that they're only going to sell a pale ale, and so that's all they make, or that's what they sort of focus on.
Well, I think when you're opening up in an area like... Central Coast, it doesn't really have a lot of craft beer venues or sort of wedged between Sydney and Newcastle, which are sort of two craft beer homelands. But they were saying they only had one tap on the Central Coast, which they just lost.
Oh, really?
About 85% of their beer was heading up to Newcastle. Mm.
All right. Well, I really like this. So before we sign off, we might do what we did last week and sort of recommend a couple of beers to drink for next episode, so...
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so what do you guys reckon? What are you going to recommend?
I'm going to recommend a BrewDog beer. I'm going to recommend...
What a surprise.
My recommend is going to be the BrewDog Hello, My Name is Beastie, which, if anyone has tried... Have you guys tried that before?
I've never even heard that one before.
Okay, so this is... a spin-off of the Hello, My Name is Ingrid, which they released for the Swedish market.
Yep.
So this is the Scottish version with Bramble added to it. So it's an IPA with Bramble.
It's a double IPA with Bramble.
Double IPA, okay.
So it's big.
So I've got a couple of bottles out of home, so I'll bring that in next time for us to crack. And I think I promised to bring in Voodoo Donut.
I think you did.
Yeah.
No, the
Voodoo Donut 2.
The 2. I have one of each at home, I think. I don't remember if I've still got one of the original ones. I definitely have a Voodoo 2, so I'll see.
I might be able to get my hands on a original one, maybe. So we might see if we can do a Voodoo side by side.
A Voodoo Voodoo. Yeah.
10 and 10.
The Voodoo Voodoo.
The black and black.
The black and blacker plus nut.
All right. Adrian, do you have anything to recommend?
I would recommend the incredibly unaffordable... Clout Stout by Nail Brewing Company.
Oh, the new one's coming out pretty damn soon.
It's very limited edition. You should still be able to get the last year's version by virtue of the fact that it's $75 a bottle.
Yeah.
It's still at Beer Cartel, I can tell you that.
It is a really, 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 really good Imperial Stout.
This is one of those hype beers which I haven't had, which I'm really looking forward to trying.
I was a bit apprehensive about having it because it was so hyped, and I had it, and it lives up to the hype.
Okay. Was this last year's one that you tried?
I tried last year's one. So they usually release the year before's batch aged a bit.
So it's like a vintage.
Yeah, so this year's one will be the last year's batch. And the last year's one that I had was 2011 batch.
Oh, sorry, yeah, so this will be the 2012 coming out.
Now, I'm going to be fairly predictable.
How about you get one you can actually bring in this time, Tom?
I can bring this in next time. Right. And I will bring this in next time. I'm going to predict another Bridge Road. I'm going to bring another Bridge Road beer.
Yep.
And this is not just a Bridge Road beer. This is a Bridge Road
collaboration beer.
Collaboration beer with a certain Danish gypsy brewer. So this is, yes, I am talking about the Dark Harvest.
Snap.
And next episode, not only am I going to bring in the new Dark Harvest, but I'll bring in a bottle of last year's Dark Harvest.
Ah, hello.
And we'll do a side-by-side. How's that?
I thought you were going to say you're going to bring in the brewer. I was like, oh.
If I could bring in Mikkel or Barry Krause, that'd be great.
So this next one's looking even bigger than this one. This
so I think next week will be, next episode will be, I think it'll be just a side-by-side episode. We'll just try and do some side-by-sides. Yeah, we'll do VB side-by-side with VB.
Yep.
And we'll see if we can do Voodoo side-by-side with Voodoo. Dark Harvest side-by-side with Dark Harvest, maybe.
Clout Stout.
Do we need to take a week off work for this one?
This will be a big one.
Might be a bit expensive.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. It's been another episode of Sessionable. We'll sign off now. And definitely leave your comments and stuff. There'll be a little comment box under the thing on our site. If we get an iTunes, rate us and leave comments and stuff. We'll read it. And talk to us on Twitter. We're all on Twitter. Adrian's at Adrian Pua. Liam is at The Beer Lebowski. I'm at A Study in Beer. And Sessionable itself is at Sessionable Cast. So you can find us there on Twitter. And we're all pretty friendly guys, so you can talk to us on that.
Most of the time, yeah.
Well, most of the time. Yeah. So thanks for listening.
And right on, guys. Drink responsibly.
Sure.